guess it comes down to a simple choice, really. Get busy living, or get busy dying.
No mix of words or music or memories can touch that sense of knowing that you were there and alive in that corner of time in the world, whatever it meant. There was madness in any direction, at any hour. You could strike sparks anywhere. There was a fantastic universal sense that whatever we were doing was right, that we were winning. And that, I think, was the handle. That sense of inevitable victory over the forces of old and evil. Not in any mean or military sense. We didn't need that. Our energy would simply prevail. We had all the momentum. We were riding the crest of a high and beautiful wave.
And now, Bud Smith reading in Albuquerque, New Mexico at Happy Folk in Endings. Enjoy.
This poem is called Love in the War Zones of the Wild. When all else fails, I will be good. No more flip-flopping, dragging along, eating dust, dying slowly, pretending to like it. Unavoidable checks, power pills, invincible bubblegum, frost, fake coins, dotted lines, rip maps, traffic signs. I hope you slept well. No, I didn't sleep at all. Ignore the long time at every door. On every door, hang a little sign says you won't keep me out forever. Talk to anyone who listens about neon fish, strange starting birds, love in the war zones of the wild, telephone wounds, vinyl records, your father and your mother and the fields where they'll be buried one day. But for now, enjoy doing donuts in the parking lots of hell. Busted streetlights, lost tickets, notices in the mail, snail mail, memos from long-lost prom dates. Send yourself a letter while drunk. Receive it 2 days later, sober, saying sincerely, I'm so thankful for your love and for your correspondence. You in the pouring rain, looking good. Me in the mud, looking at you. High fives with the wind. Kissing blues, kissing stones, kissing anything that moves. Skipping through the stations, looking, listening, constantly revising. I'm not afraid of anything, and I won't ever die. But when you kiss me, I can still feel it stinging.
Through that luggage, one man's trash, that's another man's come up. Thank your granddad for donating that plaid button up shirt, cause right now I'm up in her skirt. I'm at the Goodwill, you can find me in the I'm not stuck on searching in the section. Your grandma, your auntie, your mama, your mammy, I'll take those flannel zebra jammies secondhand and rock that motherfucker. The built-in onesie with the socks on that motherfucker. I hit the party and they stop in that motherfucker. They be like, oh, that Gucci, that's hella tight. I'm like, yo, that's $50 for a t-shirt. Limited edition, let's do some simple edition. $50 for a t-shirt, that's just some ignorant bitch. I call that getting swindled and pimped. I call that getting tricked by a business. That shirt's hella dope. And having the same one as six other people in this club is a hella don't. Peep gang, come take a look through my telescope. Tryna get girls from a brand, man, you hella won't. Man, you hella won't.
Goodwill. Poppin' time. Yeah, hello. rocking. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is fucking awesome. I'll wear your granddad's clothes. I look incredible. I'm in this big ass coat from that thrift shop down the road. I'll wear your granddad's clothes.
Right.
I look incredible.
Hey, come on, man.
I'm in this big ass coat from that thrift shop down the
Let's
road.
Go, go.
I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is fucking awesome.
Is that your grandma's coat?
I represent divine principle, total equality, a society where people own all things in common, where there is no rich or poor, where there are no races. Wherever there's people struggling for justice and righteousness, there I am, and there I am involved.
What he spoke about were things that were in our hearts. The government was not taking care of the people. There were too many poor people out there. There were poor children.
The world is like a human family. The little child may not be able to go and draw a paycheck, but the father guarantees the child care. The grandmother may not be able to work anymore, but the father and mother guarantees her the right to live.
Every single person felt that they had a purpose there and that they were exceptionally special. And that is how he brought so many young college kids in, so many older black women in, so many people from diverse backgrounds who realized that there was something bigger than themselves that they needed to be involved in and that Jim Jones offered them.
We're going to do it right here. We don't have a microphone, so it's going to be gangster's hell, and you're going to all enjoy the hell out of it. This is Dustin Holland. He's a senior in high school, phenomenal writer.
Woo!
Listen to some of his words.
Ow! Woo!
Well,
hi, I'm Dustin. Thanks for having me. Here's this. Duck walking is the only way out of Armageddon. They will sell you lies. They will sell you lies and call it justice. They'll sell you dead kids and call it art. They'll sell you violence and call it revolution. Buildings will melt into the clouds. Ponds will freeze over and children will cry in the hot sun because we don't have a saxophone this year. But you and me can waddle out of here hand in hand. We can duck walk down the streets and watch all the green paper fly back and forth. You and me could move in together, just 100 million of us. We could put bunk beds in the White House and just quack for bread. The elephants are hungry, but we could all just duck walk out of this Armageddon, hand in hand, wing in wing. You and me could skate across the pond.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
Aw, thanks. Can science get dance on Tuesday afternoons while we practice our second languages in the dark room and modern-day Robin Hoods dance in burger joints? Should we let our geometry dry, or will these overexposed pictures of our rebellion burn up in the atmosphere? The new flower tattoo still bleeds a little on her arm. Immortal, never wilting. I'll read one more from this book, and then I'll read some better ones. Climbed prefabricated rocks, ridiculous smooth jazz crooning behind me, there is no Stonehenge.
There you go.
The first poem of the new year slides down the wall like rubber brain for months at a time. My cell phone won't talk to me. I spend my days in catatonic high school land looking for Christ, but I think he dropped out already. Malatesta walks up and down bear trap alleyways under bald cap sunset because Henny Penny is bringing the war home in plastic bags and ultra leather hand warmers, like in December when my heart wants to eat the world and no one is looking, and the great stuck up time swindle never even saw it coming. So I'm 17 and I don't really have much of a social life, so I don't have that many experiences to draw from to write about, so I mostly write about other people who write, because that's what 17-year-olds do. So here's this. It's like when Miguel Pinheiro stands naked on the roof of the hell that lives in your head, the hell that tries to escape during the Monday night news, the hell that used to write all my poems. MTV's Reckoning moves down Butterknife Creek like a switchblade. Anti-gravity milk leaks through the cracks in the fridge. Disenfranchised youth write their own ghost dance out the door, and it's like when Miguel Pinheiro stands naked in the cold air and the stars behind your eyes, a planet unto himself. I need to learn to stop shaving. Wild Apache pirates, cowboys from Colorado bum around the country in ridiculous hats. Because maybe life should be like the end of a great play or a Van Gogh painting or something innocent and beautiful and free. And I guess it's sort of like when Miguel Pinheiro stands naked just outside of one last holy moment with nothing to say.
Yeah.
And I'll read two more if that's all right.
Yeah.
Cool. I wrote this one when I was camping, and a park ranger tried to teach me about elk. it went over my head, but the ranger said, "The elk won't stop fucking. We tried to teach him to pull out, but they've got no rhythm and no predator." I think that's the best poem I've ever written. Here's one more. Huyup. Five blocks from any given midnight, Gustav Mahler hits an old woman right square in the mouth and doesn't even feel bad about it. Tonight, after and away from the hallways of our insufferable education, Dennis Hopper is starting to look a lot like Joseph Smith, and you are my cassette tape angel with a secret. In caves and canyons and then head south for winter where no one can see us, where the second dimension finds its endings in the snow, like fireworks, like headstones, like the styrofoam packing peanuts and plastic Buddhas of our infinite finishings under piles of old shoes in the closet. Like on the top of a mountain in the brand new empty. In the Tibetan store with the bumper stickers and crack pipes behind the counter looking for a knife for Jake. With river songs and six shooters and the Federales won't even know what to call us or where to send our mail.
Fuck yeah. Dustin Holland. I want to get a round of applause for his parents.
Oh, man. I will never forgive your ass for this shit. This is some fucked up, repugnant shit.
Dude, did you ever hear the philosophy that once a man admits that he is wrong, that he is immediately forgiven for all wrongdoings? Have you ever heard that?
Get the fuck out of my face with that shit. The motherfucker said that shit never had to pick up itty-bitty pieces of skull on account of your dumb ass.
I got a threshold, Jules. I got a threshold for the abuse that I will take. Now, I'm a fucking race car, right? And you got me in a red. And I'm just saying that it's fucking dangerous to have a race car in a fucking red. That's all. I can blow.
Oh, you ready to blow?
Yeah, I'm ready to blow.
Well, I'm a mushroom cloud-laying motherfucker. Every time my fingers touch brain, I'm super fly TNT. I'm the guns of the Navarone. In fact, what the fuck am I doing in the back? You the motherfucker should be on brain detail. We're fucking switching. I'm washing the windows, and you picking up this nigga's skull.
What are you trying to get crazy with this, eh? Don't you know I'm loco?
Come on, now it's time for the- Remember when you ran away and I got on my knees and begged you not to leave because I go berserk? Well, you left me anyhow, and then the days got worse and worse, and now you see I've gone completely out of my mind. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, they're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha, to the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha! You thought it was a joke, and so you laughed. You laughed when I had said that losing you would make me flip my lid. Right? You know you laughed. I heard you laugh. You laughed, you laughed, and laughed, and then you left. But now you know I'm utterly mad. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the happy home with trees and flowers and chirping birds and basket weavers who sit and smile and fiddle their thumbs and toes, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. I cooked your food, I cleaned your house, and this is how you pay me back for all my kind, unselfish, loving deeds. Ha-ha. Well, you just wait, they'll find you yet, and when they do, they'll put you in the ASPCA, you mangy mutt. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, they're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha, to the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, to the happy home with trees and flowers and chirping birds and
when people say to me, how come you're divorced? I always make up a lie and say, my mother-in-law broke up my marriage. I say, well, how'd that happen? So one day my wife came home early from work and she found us in bed together. She's an old woman, but firm, and I don't know if there's any losers sitting out here. But when you know, you break up with your old lady, you get divorced, the places that you go together, then when you go in alone, they would say, where it's, I don't know if it's the market or the laundromat, they say, where's your wife? Say, I'm divorced. And there's always an embarrassed silence. They don't know what to do. You should get together, you know, a lovely couple. They don't know what the hell. They don't even know you, but they're... So we used to go to a Chinese restaurant on this strip a lot, you know, in Los Angeles. For years we went there together. So when I go in alone, the waiter says to me, where's Mama? How come you don't bring Mama anymore? Such a beautiful girl, her long red hair, but I like her. Here's some cookies, bring Mama home some cookies. I said, I'm divorced. So, oh, you better off. I'm at a left field. See, the problem, like, I don't know if you'll encounter it. It's particularly a show business problem because of my hours. I'm not a particularly promiscuous person, but I want to have, you know, somebody to hang out with to talk to. So usually I go out with chicks that are between 30 and 40 because they're usually divorced and good and bitter too, you know. But the hang-up is, where can you go at 4 in the morning? And every chick I know who's divorced got a 7-year-old kid. They haven't got a 7-year-old kid. They got a mother who lives with them who's divorced too. And those kind of mothers, real nuts, complete competition with their daughters, you know. You think I got nice legs? It was a Charleston dancer. Oh, cool. And then, or they have a mother, or they've got a French poodle that wants to stay in the bedroom with you. You keep saying, why should the door go out? Yeah, it's cute, you won't bother you. But I don't have to watch, you know. The voyeurs, get rid of them. At least there's one dog that has some, a Doberman Pinscher. There's a dog, but you train him, you raise him 10 years, he kills you. This is proven something. You know? And the hang-up is like, we're at 4 o'clock in the morning, where are you going to, if you say hotel, a semantic that's out, you know, it's got really like a lewd connotation already to it. So I figured all different devices, like telecheck, a trailer, that sounds cute, right? Nothing dirty about trailers. Yeah, want to go to my trailer? Okay, yeah. Well, it's my hotel room now. I have to assemble it. Yeah, okay. Yeah, desks are very cruel. Whoever designed hotels because it's really rough to pass the test. Because even if I know a chick, at that crucial moment, I forget her last name. I'm learning at 10:06, right? Go to the 11th floor, walk down one. Okay. So you walk in, and you walk right past the desk, like the long ass elevator. As soon as you hear Mister, you go, uh-oh. Yeah? Do you live here? And he's like, should I? Yes, I never go out much. this one chick, and I kind of dug up. I knew a couple of years. See, after work, we're going to go. Let's go to a motel, all right? Now, I'm going to go there. And I pick her up. And we're driving. She said, we can't go. I said, why not? So I haven't got any luggage. I said, all right, let's stop at the market. We'll get a brown paper bag and some apples. Now, we're in front of the motel. I said, all right, you go in because I'm not going to be embarrassed with the registering and all that. All right, so you sit in the car. This guy in the little glass house there. And I look at him, 50 feet away, and I'm really getting a lot of trauma going on. You know, so I'll tell him, and if he says this, and I'm writing a whole screenplay, you know. And I look, and I say, I'm dead already. The guy's reading The Watchtower. And there's two women next to him. They're trading from Arizona Trailways of the Mirror. So I go in there, and I've written a whole play by the time I get the guy's writing and working. Hello? How much is here a month? Well, we just have a daily rate of $6. And tell you what, my sister's out in the car, and we had a terrible tragedy in our family. My uncle passed away, and I don't know if you've ever had a tragedy like that. We were very close to him, in fact, and she's all shook up, and she's under sedation now. She's just hysterical, so I'm going to sleep with her. And they just want the bread, just and go in. And motels, from a woman's viewpoint, are cold. There's nothing to rationalize. At least you tell a chick, you know, in front of your bed, and you go, listen, I'm going upstairs, get a shirt. Why don't you come up? You know, cold in the car, you know. But motels, you know, nothing. Here we are. Ha, 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 ha. The bed is 3 feet from everything. One chair. The glass has been sanitized for your safety. The toilet seat's tied up. There's nothing to read, except have you forgot anything? Right?
everybody. Red, you are.
Tonight we're just gonna. I'm gonna do a cheer, okay? In honor of the Super Bowl instead of national anthem, because I could not possibly live up to Alicia Keys' whole thing, you know. So I'm just, you know, I'm gonna do a cheer real quick. All right?
Oh no!
I've been practicing this. Oh God! I promise not to do it in the voice of Anne Frank, so I'll just do it in some other like girly voice. All right? Here's my cheer.
You're Valley Girl voice, baby?
Valley Girl voice?
Yeah, it's your British Valley voice.
Oh, my God. Like, I don't know if I have one of those. Like, I don't know. Maybe I will. All right, here we go. Valley Girl voice. My cheerleader routine. Whew. Give me a W. Give me an E. Like, give me a T. Like, give me a P-U-S-S-Y. What's that spell? Wet pussy. Oh my gosh, I'm not bisexual. Give me an H. Give me an A. Give me an R. Give me a D. Give me a C-O-C-K. What's that spell? Hot cock. Like, oh my God. Woo. Thank you, America. Thank you. Thank you very much for giving me the freedom to...
Still trying to figure out what that had to do with the national anthem.
I said I was doing that in lieu of the national anthem.
It was definitely arousing, that's for sure.
Yeah. It did kind of sound like Anne Frank. I apologize. That
no,
did
you do... Frank.
You do bachelor parties,
I mean,
right?
Propaganda.
I do bachelor parties.
What the hell are you doing? Slashing my wrist with an electric razor?
Okay, I know, I couldn't find any razor blades.
Well, at least your wrist will be smooth and kissable.
What is the matter with you? Will you go out there and have some fun and have a few laughs, please?
No, have fun first and then have a few laughs.
Good evening, class. I would like to welcome you to Pussy Eating 101. Pay close attention now. This rules and regulations, the bees and the girls. Going downtown can really rock the world. But you gotta make sure that you know what you're doing. There's a mess down there that you gotta start learning. First, you gotta make sure you rehearse. Move around your tongue like you're trying to curse. Cause there's nothing worse than a tongue that doesn't work. Then you're gonna be mad and you feel like a jerk. Spread out a list before you kiss. Find a clit, shake a little bit, then move it all around. Lick it all over till you hear it make a sound. Then you know that you find a good spot. Either you touch it, but not a lot. Put your mouth on top, you're in control.
Atari introduces the woman of the year, Ms. Pac-Man, with a style of entertainment that Pac-Man never knew, an endless supply of floating goodies, oranges, pretzels, four different screens, each with different exits and entrances, and the green screen so difficult to reach, you may never see it again.
Don't you know, I'm more than Pac-Man with a bow.
Reach for Ms. Pac-Man.
Reach, reach, reach for Atari.
In this picture, there are 47 people. None of them can be seen. In this film, we hope to show you how not to be seen. This is Mr. E. R. Bradshaw of Napier Court, Black Lion Road, London, SE14. He cannot be seen. Now, I'm going to ask him to stand up. Mr. Bradshaw, will you stand up, please? This demonstrates the value of not being seen. In this picture, we cannot see Mrs. B. J. Smegma of 13, the Crescent, Belmont. Mrs. Smegma, will you stand up, please? This is Mr. Nesbitt of Harlow, Newtown. Mr. Nesbitt, will you stand up, please? Mr. Nesbitt has learned the first lesson of not being seen, not to stand up. However, he has chosen a very obvious piece of cover. Mr. E.W. Lambert of Homely, the Burrows, Oswestry, has presented us with a poser. We do not know which bush he is behind, but we can soon find out. Yes, it was the middle one. Mr. and Mrs. Watson of Hull chose a very cunning way of not being seen. When we called at their house, we found that they had gone away on 2 weeks' holiday. However, a neighbor told us where they were. And here is the neighbor who told us where they were. And here is where he lived. And this is where he was born. And now for something completely different.
Heather lost ketchup, Thorn.
The next one is called Smoking in the Shower.
Okay.
Smoking in the shower with the window open and the fan on, I puffed my pipe. I let the water bleed over me. I thought about the tsunami, exam work, and whether or not I should drink tonight. As I fingered the conditioner out of my hair, I decided I should. I poured myself a vodka and orange juice since we were out of scotch. It's so expensive. And drank the first one fast, like the hare having learned his lesson about dallying around and waiting too long. I had since decided that one should get drunk as soon as possible if that was the goal. My tattoo is of a vampire fairy Vulcan reading a fairy tale. I tried to take a picture of it by stretching my arms around my back. I only get the wings and stop trying. Richard Hugo believes that an artist must hate herself in order to truly create. I wonder how I can loathe myself and still create nothing of substance. Perhaps I like myself a little too much. Perhaps it is the tattoo. I never should have got it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the talent of Shelley Chernin.
There's a boy at my garden gate. He's bearing birds. He wants to conjugate. Oh, his past and his present participles are tense, but his future's perfect parts of speech immense. I let the boy That is to say, I love the man who's versifying in my bed. I wish he'd make love to me instead. I'll read his chapter when he's dead.
Woo! Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
So many social engagements, so little time.
And now, Tim Roy.
Can I just read one more, ladies and gentlemen?
Go ahead.
All right, this will be the last one for a little bit.
You don't have any of the duos that you did at the Red Fest thing?
No, ma'am, I don't.
Oh, that's so bad. Those were so good.
I apologize for that. This one's called The Ballad of Blabber and Eddie. Just about myself. Someone once asked me why my poems look like chop suey on paper. I said, that's how my brain works, and maybe that's how your brain works too. Multi-channel sensory stimulation of said brain. Try driving down the road in your car. Music from the radio, scrambled with thoughts of money, love, lust, lack of sleep, what's for dinner, meshed with billboards, traffic signals, pedestrian sunshine, lost puppies, dead relatives. So I woke up one day when I was about 30 and I said, well, I've been born on Earth. Now what do I do? How'd I get here? Why'd I get here? I'm a Piscean dream fish, universal lout monk writing collage poems from Hoosier Hideout. The words of Jesus are written in the unique pattern of a cracked sidewalk. What does it mean to drag around a pile of bones and a bag of flesh? Smile. Where are we at here? Here we are trapped in the armbar of the moment. When nothing makes you happy or content, it's time for bed. The only 4+1 things that aren't in grade school. Oleo is margarine, ladies and gentlemen. Stulch is junk. A Baloo is a bear. That's true. I mean, that's really... Wuzzle means to mix. And no, Tiffany Baker will not go to the Valentine's Day dance with you. How can all of these people write such angry poems about living on the skids, booze, bar fights, when they have nice, pretty, clean, straight white teeth? And their mothers cook pork chop dinners on Sundays. And their closest thing to life as a skid row drunk is when Dad came home early and caught them trying to pick the lock on the liquor cabinet with a bent paperclip. Gosh darn it, quit playing dress up. Please write poems about dinner with your folks. I want to hear you sing your true song. I want mashed potatoes and gravy smeared between sandwiches. Or the boredom of a gray Midwestern day in March, watching icicles drip from the eaves. Just sing your song because you're the only you on this whole darn vast puzzled planet of people. Sing the particular song that is most particularly you. You being a vast compendium of sensory data compiled from wombhood to present moment. And certainly no two individual compendiums of sensory data are identical. You are your very own snowflake fingerprint upon the window of the universe. And then I have a Bible quote from Amos. Chapter 7, verse 14. I'm not a prophet, nor am I the son of a prophet, but I am a herdsman plucking wild figs. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
When people talk about homosexuality, they often ask, is it a choice?
I heard it is.
Hello, what's your name?
Christian.
Well, Christian, let's see what the latest science has to say.
Oh, that.
To help us, here are two gay people, George and Martha. Before we can answer, is it a choice, we must first determine what it means to be gay. How do you know you're a homosexual?
The same way you know that you're straight.
Since the 19th century, many theories about homosexuality have been offered that are untestable and contradictory.
Male homosexuality is the result of an absent father and an overbearing mother.
See ya.
Stand up straight, dear.
And the female homosexual has never recovered from her anger over not having the penis. She wishes to avenge her perceived castration by taking another female as her sexual object.
You're kidding me, right?
Well, I've always been told that homosexuality is unnatural.
Is it? In fact, homosexual relations are common in nature, including zebras, baboons, dolphins, sheep, buffalo, ducks, foxes, elephants, horses, gorillas, moose, house cats, pigs, mice, rabbits, swans, and lions, to name a few.
Well, okay, but we're not animals. Human beings have free will.
You don't just decide who to love.
Settle down there, Martha. Christian does have a point, but let's take a look at the most recent scientific evidence. As they study sexual orientation, scientists are currently looking at three main areas: genes, hormones, and birth order. Of course, most of these studies focus only on male sexuality. Sorry, Martha.
What a shock.
Let's first look at studies of identical twins.
Hi.
When one identical twin is a gay man, the other twin is gay up to 70% of the time, far higher than would occur if genes played no role. In fact, these studies show that genes play a greater role in determining sexual orientation than they do in whether or not you're right or left-handed. And we don't punish the left-handed. Well, not anymore. Let's get it! Scientists have recently noticed a striking statistical phenomenon. Studies show that having older brothers increases the odds of a boy being homosexual.
Moms always baby the youngest, making them gay.
No, that's not it. When a woman is pregnant with a boy, scientists are realizing that her female body often sees the male fetus as a foreign object and begins to produce antibodies against it. The more boys a woman has, the more adept her body becomes at feminizing the fetus, which may explain why with every successive boy, the odds that he will be gay go up significantly.
All right, maybe you all accept it, but what about those people who started out gay and say they became straight by discovering God? What about ex-gay ministries?
Even so-called ex-gay ministries don't claim to change a person's inner sexual desires, just his or her sexual conduct.
We're still gay.
If these places really work, why don't they all use the same technique? Why does each ministry experiment its own way?
Well...
And why have so many members and leaders recanted earlier claims that they were changed?
Maybe these programs don't work for everyone, but what's the harm?
How about the feelings of shame and guilt they instill and reinforce in their victims? Or the money, energy, and time they sap from people who have nothing wrong with them,
says you.
Well, in point of fact, not just George says that, Christian. The American Medical Association, the American Psychiatric Association, the American Psychological Association, the American Psychoanalytic Association, the American Academy of Pediatrics, and the National Association of Social Workers have all stated that homosexuality should not be treated as a mental disorder, and that they oppose attempts at reparative or conversion therapy, and that sexual orientation is not a choice and cannot be changed.
So that's it. I'm supposed to believe that it's not a choice just because all those doctors and scientists say so?
Or you could just ask us.
I do know this one girl named Heather who goes back and forth, but she's
a... Shut up.
The information in this educational cartoon is based upon studies that can be found in any university library, with the possible exception of the Bob Jones University in South Carolina.
Here comes the Wizard of... Okay, don't hold in your laughs, folks. It creates gas. That's right. The more laughs you hold in, the more gas you create. You only end up spoiling the evening for everyone. So everybody, give me an H.
A.
Give me an A.
A.
Give me an H.
A.
Give me an A.
A.
What's it spell?
A.
There, don't you feel better? I gotta tell you, I haven't been feeling too good myself. I went to this Hollywood party last week. Wilt Chamberlain was there. I thought I'd be cool. I said, hey, Wilt, how's the weather up there? He said, it's raining, and he spit on me. Well, it could have been worse. I was in this restaurant yesterday, right? Waiter comes over, he has his thumb on my steak. I said, what are you doing with your thumb on my steak? He said, I didn't want to drop it again.
Sometimes I feel so happy. Sometimes I feel so sad. Sometimes I feel so happy. But mostly you just make me mad. Baby, you just make me mad. Linger on. Your pale blue eyes.
thought of you as my mountaintop, thought of you as my peak, thought of you as everything I've had but couldn't keep. I've had but couldn't keep. Linger on your pale blue eyes. Linger on.
My job consists of basically masking my contempt for the assholes in charge and at least once a day retiring to the men's room so I can jerk off while I fantasize about a life that doesn't so closely resemble hell.
is the biggest act of eco-terrorism in U.S. history, a fire deliberately set on the night of August 1, 2003, that destroyed this nearly completed $23 million apartment complex just outside San Diego, a fire set to protest urban sprawl.
It was the biggest fire I have ever responded to as a firefighter.
By the time the fire burned itself out the next morning, all that remained was a 12-foot-long banner that read, "If you build it, we will burn it." Also on the banner was the acronym ELF.
When you saw that banner, what went through your mind?
I knew I had a problem.
A problem because he knew what ELF stood for, the Earth Liberation Front, the most radical friend of the environmental movement. It's the same group that set 9 simultaneous fires across the Vail Mountain Ski Resort in 1998 to protest its expansion, causing $12 million in damage. And the same group that left SUV dealerships across America looking like scenes from the Sunni Triangle, their way of protesting the gas-guzzling habits of American car buyers.
Yeah.
copy for your speed, license, registration, insurance.
Sure. It's a rental car.
Registration and rental agreement.
That's the rental agreement?
Where are you from?
Germany.
You know what the speed limit is here, you Germany boy?
I didn't really get it yet.
And why are you driving in my country?
Why
are you driving if you're not paying attention to the speed limit?
It's 70.
It's 70 miles an hour, then why are you going 98?
I was just following another...
Don't follow any other cars, and let me give you a little hint. You weren't following nobody.
Okay.
I was right in front of you. You were leading the pack. This ain't the Autobahn. Do you understand that?
I get that, sir.
You know what happens to nice little boys like you that have to go to jail for reckless driving? Ass will be hurting for a month.
Okay, I get what you...
7377, first up.
I suggest you slow down and do 70, or you will get violated.
It won't happen again.
I am Jack's complete lack of surprise.
Went to that tenderloin. There's nothing tender about that motherfucker at all. That shit was rough. The opposite of tender. I have never seen crack smoke so casually before. These niggas was sitting in front of Starbucks smoking crack and drinking coffee. I said, this is off the hook. Talking about politics. I seen one crackhead trying to break into somebody's car, man, and it struck a chord with me. I tried to stop him. I said, hey! And he looked back and saw me and said, oh, keep an eye out. I said, nigga, that was me that said that. I'm trying to help you. I want this shit to stop. Crackheads are like that. I had a crackhead break my car window one time. Broke it! You know what he stole? Fucking candy bar I had lying on the seat. That's all he took. The goddamn candy bar. I was so mad. I drove around the neighborhood for 5 hours looking for a crackhead with chocolate on his face. I did that. I finally found when I grabbed that motherfucker. I said, hey, man, what's all this chocolate on your face, motherfucker? He looked confused. Chocolate? This is doo-doo, baby. I said, ah! Oh, man. Place is insane.
Happy fucking ending.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty.
Hello, show.
Hello.
We're broadcasting live from Albuquerque.
Blog Talk Radio
from Albuquerque, New Mexico, Kentucky. Or some fucking state with a similar name.
You know, this is actually under the war category on Blog Talk Radio.
War category? I know all about World War II, I, and the Civil War in Vietnam, and I'm inhaling, like...
And also cartoon rig.
And
smurf rig.
Is Nick Styrofoam orgy in small apartment? Is Nick hungry?
I make very much ejaculate spoonage in mouthage.
Is Nick eat
in yeast?
Yes, it makes me nipple
very hard.
I see that.
But anyhow,
it makes fart very fluffy.
With fluffy things in mouth, very
fluffy,
nice.
Look,
fluffy things in mouth,
look,
very much
look,
like.
Is eat in mouth, and later, another time, it's like.
Yeah.
It's like burn.
Flatulent
butterfly.
Yeah.
Flatulent butterfly. It's a band from the UK. We're here.
Also.
And how do we sing her here? What is her name? Something.
You're up, I guess.
We sing her a flatulent butterfly.
Okay.
Wow.
You came to the hostel and you're looking for a bottom bunk. And also a bottom bunk.
I want to leave the smoke.
Bring him out here.
No.
I want to make passionate love to Papa Smurf.
No, make love. You
no,
rapage.
No. It's wait.
I have ejaculate in hair.
On bottom bunk only.
Bottom bunk only, yeah. Otherwise, it rained down like a Smurfish, like...
It's inconvenient.
A Smurfish, like a rainstorm from hell.
I hit Papa Smurf away, so...
Did you call him on the bomb?
It was a very vile scene.
It was like
Nicolas Cage, 8mm vile type scenario. It was pretty rough.
Very violent.
Yes.
I, on him from the UK, a hot $20...
What do you intend to do with the $20? Get a happy fucking ending?
I got $20.
20 quid.
Quinn.
Quinn. No, Quinn. Anthony. She's got.
She's American and
$20.
Is there pounds or quid? Quid. 20
Anthony
Quinn. I got 20 quid. Can I get a
bottom book? Can I get a bottom book with 20 Anthony Quinns? Stand by.
And we will have bottom bunkies right page. Fully explicit on stage.
On the stage, she has I guess you could call it an affinity for crayons. And she really revs my engine, Lindsay Thomas. Lindsay Erin Thomas is a semi-reclusive, omnivorous, desert-dwelling mammal. She is also the artist formerly known as Panifesto's Porn-tastic Funhouse. She was probably on her way to becoming a famous photographer, but unfortunately, she left her camera at a bus stop in Tampa, Florida, after we got married. Her new camera is a Walmart Vivitar brand model and a real piece of crap. Now as a part of the Red Fez team, or formerly of the Red Fez team, she plans on making her millions as a poetry editor instead. She's also the editor-in-chief, as well as the sole contributor to the Journal of the Food Stamp Jet Set, ladies and gentlemen, Lindsay Thomas.
Pretty much all lies, I quit writing already. But I'm here to talk about why I'm not a writer anymore. I'm not a writer. The only reason I'm even here today is so people can take unflattering pictures of me while I'm hungover and bloated. Somebody is blackmailing me. They're threatening to put naked pictures of my grandmother on the internet. And I'll read to you the contents of my secret personal diary live on stage, and subject myself to ridicule by my enemies, and prove to my friends that I really am more interesting while I'm drunk. I'm here today to talk about how I write things on scraps of paper and throw them in the garbage immediately sometimes, and sometimes only after hoarding them in someone else's garage for several years. Sometimes, after a full moon, you can find pages from my diary wadded up in front of the San Felipe Church in Old Town after I run there full speed at midnight to confess my sins. Writing has done nothing for my life but get me in trouble. Because of literacy, I have defaulted on $60,000 worth of student loans. I wonder why Southwest Airlines probably doesn't give me a good reference. I think it was probably the 3-page single-spaced letters to corporate about why so-and-so is a fucking asshole and how I don't want to talk about my tits in the break room. Everyone knows that talking about tits in the break room is inappropriate unless it is regarding shift trades to facilitate the co-worker's boob job. I'm not a writer anymore, but I am going to be an artist, I think. I got a lot of inspiration when I used to work in special ed with children with emotional problems and behavior disorders. And this is one that you've all probably heard before, because I haven't written very many poems. It's called Harold and the Black Cradle of Destruction. He said, "If I were an artist, I'd draw a picture of a flower with his head cut off. If only I had a box of Crayola 24s, I'd draw unicorns with their horns cut off, spewing rainbows of blood from the severed nubs, and babies crying. I would draw hard industrial things with soft waxy crayons and hot pink serrated dildos, burnt sienna vaginas, and atomic tangerine penises. I wish I had a box of crayons, especially a red one. A wax zombie apocalypse would take the entire Disney kingdom. Mickey Mouse splattered in red, entrails hanging from out of his mouth. A derailed roller coaster, children screaming, I'd capture them mid-air. With my blue Crayola, I would draw a tsunami. And with the red, or with the yellow, the flash before nuclear winter. And with the black one, I would draw a toothbrush mustache on your face. And here's one more. This is also an old one. I want mascara to run. I want it to rain today. I hope that the weather messes up your hair and that the wind blows the tablecloths off of 100 outdoor weddings and that at least one golfer is struck by lightning. And that several people have to buy new shoes. I hope that the T-Mobile and the Sprint cell phone towers are knocked out for several hours and that the internet is unavailable as well, leaving countless men with blue balls after they're unable sex addicts left unsatiated by yet unfulfilled Craigslist casual encounters. I was thinking about selling some of my artwork to the audience, but I realized that you guys are all writers, so I canceled the art show as well. So I gotta go.
Really do. Rape is, I love that some people apply to that. Needless to say, rape, the most heinous crime imaginable.
Yes.
Seems, it's a comic dream, though. Because it seems when you do rape jokes that, like, the material is so dangerous and edgy. And the truth is, it's, like, the safest area to talk about in comedy. That's the trick. Because who's going to complain about a rape joke? Rape victims? They don't even report rape. I mean, they're traditionally not complainers. Like, the worst maybe thing that could happen is, and this would, I would feel terrible, like, after a show, maybe somebody comes up to you and is like, look, I'm a victim of rape. And as a victim of rape, I just want to say I thought that joke was inappropriate and insensitive and totally my fault. And I am so... That's right. Let's take them down a notch. They've had it too good for too long. Am I right? Obviously, not that I need to backtrack and qualify this, I think you all know me by now, but obviously no woman is asking to be raped. You know, I do think there are some women who are asking to be motorboated.
Meadowlark Lemon. He's never tried Charmin. Watch me get him. I got it.
What is it?
That's Charmin. Haven't you ever tried it?
No. Is it soft?
Squeeze it.
It is soft.
And
cushiony.
And
squeezable.
Gotcha.
Charmin. The squeezing gets you. The softness keeps you.
Can you cut the mustard to clear the custard? Can you cut it? Can you cut the mustard to clear the custard? Can you cut the mustard to clear the custard? Can you cut the mustard? Cut it. You got a butternut, buttercup, butterbun, butter up. Black hanky, straight shot, no wrinkle, flame hot. Tongue teaser, old teaser, shrimp teaser, fridge freezer, kitchen cleaner, cherry picker, soup sipper, lily dipper, hoop steak, double header, flip flop, 69er, dairy farmer, cream of the crop, got rich, don't stop.
Television, choose washing machines, cars, compact disc players and electrical tin openers. Choose good health, low cholesterol and dental insurance. Choose fixed interest mortgage repayments. Choose a starter home. Choose your friends. Choose leisure wear and matching luggage. Choose a three-piece suite on hire purchase and a range of fucking fabrics. Choose DIY and wondering who the fuck you are on a Sunday morning. Choose sitting on that couch watching mind-numbing, spirit-crushing game shows, stuffing fucking junk food into your mouth. Choose rotting away at the end of it all, kissing your last in a miserable home, nothing more than an embarrassment to the selfish, fucked up brats that you've spawned to replace yourselves. Choose your future. Choose life.
Five, four, three, two, one.
America. Won't you come in? I want to talk to you about how this country is going to hell in one great big burning handbasket. Oh, Juan?
Señora?
I don't know how you did things in Mexico, but, por favor, no agua so close to the Audi.
Oh, lo siento. Okay, so sorry.
I don't know what we do without him. American family values and the nuclear family are essential to our society. But an atheist who hates the U.S. of A. is leading us straight into 10,000 years of darkness as he threatens to take away our freedom to praise God, makes a mockery of full, sweet, heterosexual sex, and kills helpless unborn. Dennis! In some states, life legally begins as 2 weeks before conception.
A little privacy, Mom?
And this is your father's.
Ah, shucks.
Mom? Gee whiz! Do you ever knock? Sally, electricity and water are a recipe for disaster.
And with abortions and birth control being handed out like Tic Tacs, is it any wonder God made rapists so virile? Who are women to think that they can make decisions about their own bodies? That these social issues are more important than the economy, and that they're 100% equal to men.
Mom, I think I discovered neither I should do stem cell research.
Alice?
Oh, nuts.
And thanks to that cum-loving Kenyan president of ours, the sanctity of marriage is being raped, legitimately, forcing Christians to witness the spreading of homosexuality like lube on my asshole, like sands on the shore.
Little darling.
And if same-sex marriage is legalized,
what's next?
We do. Not on my dime, Mr. President. Not on my dime!
It'll only hurt a little the first time.
Hello, sir. I'm here to pick up your daughter, Sally.
Sally, your driver's here.
I'm not a driver. I'm her boyfriend, George.
She was raised by a single mother.
Aw, jeepers, Mom. What's wrong with you?
Girls, obedience.
Now you head out there. You make as much money however you have to, darling.
You clean up this mess and make me an excellent dinner.
Ew. We work hard to provide for our family. And V. Hussein also wants us to foot the bill for birth control, Big Bird, and butt sex. Will you join me in telling other people how to live their lives the way God intended?
I met her in a club down in Old Soho, where you drink champagne and it tastes like Coca-Cola. C-O-L-A, Cola. She walked up to me and she asked me to dance. Thank you.
Tonight, hip-hip will sleep with your rifle. Hell will give your rifle a girl's name. Because this is the only pussy you people are going to get. Your days of finger-banging old Mary Jane Rottencrotch through her pretty pink panties are over. You're married to this piece, this weapon of iron and wood, and you will be faithful. Hard hit! Prepare to mount. Mount!
People don't wake up. It's unbelievable that after 2006, anti-war demonstrations disappeared. Well, you know, because of what the United States did with Indian people, America then became the role model subsequently for Hitler's treatment of gypsies and Jews and Poles and gays and homosexuals. And then South Africa adopted the reservation system and apartheid because of the example of the United States. This is all written history. Because Hitler wrote about it when he was still in Austria. So the United States of America knows how to treat the lesser human being. I forget how he put it, with the human beings that do not deserve equitable treatment. So unfortunately for the other peoples that suffer, America was the role model of concentration camps. I know the Japanese did it, and, you know, the Japanese were not treating American soldiers or any prisoners badly until the United States, this is a little known fact, the United States started sending the Japanese to concentration camps in Western United States. So, too, is factor. It's not an unknown tactic about the scorched earth policy. I mean, that was done throughout empires. In fact, that's how you rewarded the soldiers. Keep them fighting. They got all the loot and the women, and I think, you know. So, Sherman tactic in the South wasn't new, very effective. It's called terror. And so he came out west to try to employ that same thing.
Well, obviously, we have a rapist in Lincoln Park. He's climbing in your windows, he's snatching your people up, trying to rape them. So you need to hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband, because they're raping everybody out here. You don't have to come and confess. We're looking for you. We gon' find you. We gon' find you. So you can run and tell that, run and tell that, run and tell that. Homeboy, homeboy. We got your t-shirts and the left fingerprints, and all you are so dumb. You are really gone, Korea.
The man got away, leaving behind friend's evidence. I was attacked by some idiot in the project. So dumb, so dumb, so dumb. So she's climbing in your window, she's snatching your people up, trying to rape them. So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband, because they're raising everybody out here. You don't have to come and confess. We're looking for you. We gon' find you. We gon' find you. So you can run and tell back, run and tell back, run and tell back. Homeboy, home, home, homeboy. He's climbing in your windows. He's snatching your people up. Trying to break them. So you need to hide your kids, hide your wife.
He tries so desperately to hide his love for me.
Stresses me out, and not just because I have to sleep on a twin mattress that I never even fit on when I was in high school. You see, I'm from Texas, and in Texas, you show up fancy to Thanksgiving dinner, just like the pilgrims and Jesus did. So in this episode, I'm going to show you how to put together the best outfit for Thanksgiving dinner. Pants. You got to wear them. As I found out in what's still referred to in my family as the Thanksgiving we don't talk about. Black jeans are a good option because they're jeans, but also they're black, so your mom might not notice they're not slacks. Although she probably will. Make sure they have stretch in them. Just because you're dressed up does not mean that you won't eat until your body is literally overflowing with mashed potatoes. Pick a shirt that does not show your boobs whatsoever. Not even a hint of boob. Think about how much you want to see your family's boobs. Okay? That's exactly how much they want to see yours. So be cool. You can also help us out with a jacket, which will impress your mom because no one's going to come to the table with a jacket. Win-win. shoes. You don't need them. Your mom doesn't want you bringing the street to her new rug, and you don't want to wear heels on the carpet. So everyone wins. There you go. The perfect outfit to wear while eating a dead bird with your family. Happy Thanksgiving, one and all.
They want to hear the Thanksgiving song. All right. This is a Thanksgiving song. I hope you enjoy it.
Love to eat turkey. Love to eat turkey.
Oh, I love you.
Love to eat turkey. Cause it's good. Love to eat turkey like a good boy should. Cause it's turkey to eat. So good.
That clapping's messing my head up, man. I appreciate it. But I was trying to think of the next line. I'm like, all I hear is clapping. Here we go. Thanks anyway.
Turkey for me. Turkey for you. Let's eat the turkey in my big brown shoe. Love to eat the turkey at the table. I once saw a movie with Betty Grable. Eat that turkey all night long. 50 million Elvis fans can't be wrong. Turkey lurkey do and turkey lurkey dap. I eat that turkey then I take a nap. Thanksgiving is a special night. Jimmy Walker used to say dynamite.
That's right.
Turkey with gravy and cranberry. Can't believe the Mets traded that old strawberry. Turkey for you and turkey for me. Can't believe Tyson gave that girl BD. Oh, white meat, dark meat, you just can't lose. I fell off my moped and I got a bruise. Turkey in the oven and the buns in the toaster. I'll never take down my Cheryl Peaks poster. Wrap the turkey up in aluminum foil. My brother likes to masturbate with baby oil. Turkey and sweet potato pie. Sammy Davis Jr. only had one eye. Turkey for the girls and turkey for the boys. My favorite kind of pants are corduroy. Gobble, gobble, boo, and gobble, gobble, giggle. I wish turkey only cost a nickel. Oh, I love turkey on Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.